I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is our Gene Kelly correspondent. It's Sierra Ryan, everyone.
Woo! Reporting from Washington Heights, New York City, it's Sierra Ryan with your Gene Kelly movie musical of the week. Yeah. Hello.
I love that. If I could add like a or something. And we're here today to continue on with our Gene Kelly filmography discussions.
Yes.
And we're here to talk about the 1957 Les Girls. Screenplay by John Patrick. Music and lyrics by Cole Porter. Directed by George Cukor. And according to IMDb, the former members of a dance troupe are suing because of recently published memoirs. Each one insists on her own point of view. I think it's her own. Wait.
It's just one memoir that has been published. And they're arguing about in court about the validity of it.
And the IMDb summary does say each one insists on own point of view. So
each one insists on own point of view.
Yes. Yeah. And okay. So IMDb summary aside, I resonate the most with the guy holding the "What is truth" sign because I have no idea what is true in this movie.
Well, but my husband who watched it with me was like, "This is Rashomon the musical." If anyone knows what Rashomon is, it's a Japanese samurai movie where the same story is being told from different points of view. So it's like it's a he said story.
Which is like, why isn't Mitzi Gaynor giving a testimony? I know it's Gene Kelly, but like,
yeah,
come on.
I know. Well, apparently it was based on some sort of real life event, like a memoir that had been written that, you know, someone was being sued upon. And so they thought, oh, that's a good idea for some sort of screenplay.
The person who wrote the story, Vera Caspary, was inspired by an article that appeared in The Atlantic that was reminiscing dancers' touring years. And then she turned that into the movie. But then obviously John Patrick wrote the script. But she got paid like $80,000 for writing Les Girls, the title.
The title.
I guess the story treatment and all that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
and my...
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I saw this in my you know, middle school and high school years, watching it, you know, doing my little audio recording with my boom box. So I haven't seen it for like 35 years, maybe.
Your preparation for this day that you didn't know was going to happen.
Right. But it's really funny when you're listening to stuff and you're like, oh, I know the lyrics to this. Why do I know the lyrics to this? Oh, because I listened to it over and over and over. But I had forgotten the story itself. Like, and I seem to remember it was, kind of a she said, and someone wins Gene Kelly at the end, but we don't know who it is or whatever. So it was it was interesting to rewatch with an adult view.
So my first question, and yes. I know you're probably not going to know the answer to this because the movie doesn't really tell us anything, but like,
right.
Did Gene Kelly actually like hook up with all three of them?
Well, spoiler alert, that's what Mitzi Gaynor's character was like. Well, there's got to be some truth at the end to, and he's like, no, you know, and that it kind of ends with this kind of open-ended, did he or didn't he, with the other two. You know, what I like about this is that it kind of sets Gene Kelly in the kind of wolf persona that he has been so famous for.
Yes.
You know, able to play and the pirate and a little bit in Singing in the Rain, and you know, he's able to play kind of the hound dog, but in this, it's it it is like, is he actually the hound dog or not? What's interesting that I did a little bit of, like, Wikipedia breakdown, is like, it won the Golden Globe for, like, best movie, comedy or musical or something like that. And then the best actress for the Golden Globes was split between Kay and the two leading ladies besides Mitzi Gaynor.
Kay Kendall and
Kay Kendall and
Tina Elg.
Elg?
Yeah.
And she was Finnish, Tina, and Kay was British, and Mitzi was American. And I'm not sure when you're going to post this, but we are recording soon after the death of Mitzi Gaynor at the ripe old age of 93, and she had such energy. I don't ever remember a time when I saw a video or a movie or any sort of behind the scenes where she did not exude energy. So I thought she was never going to die. I just thought she was just going to be this eternal light.
I don't know her filmography that well. Is she in a lot of musicals, and is she like a singer? Because she's like danced great in Why Am I So Gone, about the gal.
She was like, famous. I think her most famous, at least in musical theater turned movies, is South Pacific.
Oh, yes. I'm going to watch that, man. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also love her in There's No Business Like Show Business. She plays Donald O'Connor's sister with a bunch of other, with her mom is Dan Daly and Ethel Merman. And it's a very interesting, vaudeville family story.
I'm looking at her filmography, and like, she hasn't really done a lot of movies, it looks like. I mean,
she had a TV show, I think. She had like a, or some sort of.
I think.
Did she have a TV show?
Let me look for it. Oh, and she was in Anything Goes, the movie.
Which I don't think has anything to do with the play. Like, it's a weird. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's not. It's not the Anything Goes. It's
I don't
just another.
Think so.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's another musical.
Yeah. Hey, put it on the list.
There's
but
so
she
many.
was just known as just this incredibly sprightly triple threat and kind of a ball buster, and she was always playing kind of very witty, urbane, kind of witty but kind of down to earth gals who could sing and dance up a storm. So
And in this one, and in Lake Girl, she still plays that witty character who, okay. So this movie is told in three testimonies.
Yes.
We get the first one, which is Lady Sybil Wren, talking about defending what she wrote in her memoir about Angèle Ducroix, right? Yeah. And in the second testimony is Angèle basically like looking back, telling how Lady Sybil is lying,
right, and a drunkard
and also hooked up allegedly with Gene Kelly. And then Gene Kelly, Barry Nichols is his character's name, is the third story, where he talks about how he loves Joy Henson, Mitzi Gaynor, Henderson, excuse me. And, but he doesn't, the thing is though, that each doesn't really dispute what the story before was.
Except for the suicide at the end.
The suicides at the end of every
all
story.
All of their stories end with the other person committing suicide. And then, spoiler alert, Barry reveals that no, it wasn't a suicide. Both of them got hit by the gas because it was a faulty connection.
But is that true?
Yes, because the I think Joy mentions the faulty things, like, oh, why is this up? But this is gonna kill us one day, and she reconnects the things.
Oh, I missed that detail.
Yeah, and then he finds them, and that's kind of the story, is that these two very spicy women think that their version is mostly the truth, and they kind of backstabbing each other in these stories, but in the end, both of them were just victims of a happenstance, of an accident. But you know, you kind of, I don't know, there's it's a hard story to kind of be like, oh, these are great characters, these are wonderful characters to root for. I love all the actors. I think I love all the actresses in terms of what they were given to do, and I love Tana Elg, and how effervescent she was and how bubbly she was in the first one, and then she kind of tampered it down for the second one because she was the good girl, quote unquote. So it was fun to see the all of them kind of switch characters all the way through.
Except for Mitzi Gaynor.
No, but that's the point, is that it's not her story. She doesn't
Right.
get to tell her story. She's kind of the
Right. So
she just eats celery all the way through. Did you notice that every scene that where they're eating, she just has celery?
I noticed it at
I
the
think
end when
she
they
was
were
a little
having like burgers or something.
yeah, or like onions on their meat and cheese and bread, and there's
Bread,
Mitzi
yeah.
with her
Celery.
celery. I'm like, okay, that sounds like a dancer, like, that doesn't want to gain any weight. She's just like, I'll eat on set, but I'm just gonna have celery.
I also really liked that the three of them had like followed the girl code in a way where, I mean, in both Angèle and Sybil's stories, like the even though they were talking down about the other person, the other two in their stories would all back them up, you know. So like in Lady Wren's story, she said that Angèle went out with Barry to have a date, basically, and maybe have sex.
Hey, you never know with these musicals.
Her fiance shows up, and both her and Joy are like, "Oh, she's volunteering,
Now she's a nurse
ha
now.
ha." And then in Angèle's story, when Sybil is like wasted,
It's kind of over the top comedically. I'm not quite sure if a drunk person is quite that.
I want to know what exactly she's drinking and if that's the
Woo!
perfume talking.
Yes. Well, it was gin. It was gin in the perfume bottle.
Well, there's got to be some perfume in there too. I feel like. And in that one, Angèle tells Barry, you know, oh, she's in love with you, blah blah blah, and both her and Joy try to like, you know, disguise what's going on, but it's very interesting, I
It
will say.
is. I
This is
think
like the least musical I think he's
Cole
in.
Porter. Well, it is one of those things where mostly, except for You're Just Too Too and Ça C'est l'Amour, everything else is musically is in the mu in the world of the performance.
Right. And even Ça C'est l'Amour, I had a question of like, is this a musical moment or is this just her like singing to him while being in love?
What's the difference, John? Come on. I sing to my husband all the time.
true, but you're also
But I
not
don't have
in a
an
musical.
and I don't have an orchestra behind me.
Right. So that's when I was just like, well, is she just serenading him or is this like an actual like musical, like I have so much emotions, I need to sing, kind of a moment.
I'd say both.
Okay, I
It
mean,
bounces
it
back and
was
forth.
more just like a thought
A
experiment that
thought
I
ex
was
yeah.
having. Yeah,
Yeah.
not
Yeah.
necessarily like picking at it, but I will say that I was a little concerned that we weren't going to have like a Gene Kelly Dream Ballet moment. We got it.
We got it at the end as a performance element, but
But
yes, at the end.
I wish there was more dancing.
Yeah,
I
there's not
needed.
a lot of it. It's more character driven, you know,
This is more about the story, yeah,
the story,
the
which,
testimonies.
right. I felt like this Golden Globes aside, I kind of started getting bored about two thirds in. I kind of needed a little bit more of an interesting, because the fun thing about the he said, she said, or she said, she said, is seeing the same events from
Told
two different,
differently.
told differently. They sort of had that in the Ladies in Waiting with like, oh, this is the same performance. It's just, you know, the difference is one person
Is
is fucking up
it?
or the other. Well, I'm just saying it's supposed to be that. Like, why did it happen? But to that, the question, you're questioning it, and that's because the movie didn't make it clear enough that it was the actual, that one single performance had two different points of view.
Right. I agree with you that I wish that the details were all about the specific time frame that they're in. And
But I will also say that after each story in the court, we went to either the hotel or the home of each of the ladies who had just spoken, and we got a sense that you know, their husbands was saying like, did you really do this? Did you really? And she's like, well, yes, of course I might have done that, but I still love you, or whatever it is. So you kind of got a sense that the story that was told in the courtroom, parts of that were real. Parts of
right.
that were, they had to defend themselves and go or explain themselves or apologize for some truth that was being told.
And then it's brought to light that the husbands are even lying to them.
Well, that's when the end came, and they're like, the three guys were planning on tricking the women to basically give up their careers. I was like, oh, fuck you, fuck y'all. Like, you know, these women do not need a man to tell them to stop performing out of the kindness of their hearts. Just tell them the truth. Just stop. Speaking of talking about the truth,
Now
tell them the truth.
you talked about Gene Kelly being the wolf beforehand, but I was like, oh my God, your story, you are the worst. The
Oh, my heart.
absolute
Oh.
worst. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say that, but the character
know.
is
I know. He's an asshole. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
such an asshole.
I know.
I don't know if it's gaslighting. I mean, I don't think that whatever he was doing, tricking her.
Yeah, he's faking it. He's faking a story to feel like he can destroy these women's lives and livelihood and get away with it emotionally. You know, so it's not, oh, so it's not hurting them, or it's not, you know, taking not firing them. It's just it's going to be their choice to get out of the performance life.
And also he's gonna get the girl that he's obsessed with.
Right. Well, and she
So
gives him a lot of shit, which is good. That's the Mitzi Gaynor, like, uh-uh, you don't, this is not right. And
right, but she even
then they
tells
write
him
it in.
like, no, no, I'm following your rule. No.
And then of course it's musical theater stereotype of everything's gotta, so there's gotta be a happy ending somehow, and she's gotta be
Oh God, the
convinced.
when the other two like went to each other and hugged and then, weren't mad at their husbands anymore. I was just like, God damn it.
Yeah, I know. They were giving them some shit, which is nice, and then everything was fine after that. I was like, oh no, 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 uh-uh. That would, if I learned that my husband behind my back, you know,
Sabotage your
tried
career.
to sabotage my career and convince me to like quit what I was wanting to do my entire life, I that'd be a deal breaker, let's just say.
Well, now, were they actually like, I don't know. We don't get a lot of information, but
There's a lot of holes. Yeah.
they don't. It seems like at least Angèle was very fast, wanted to be a dancer because she quit the ballet that she was part of to do this.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the other two were, going along with it, and they're like, we want to be in the industry as well. But I didn't see like a passionate drive or like a, I've been wanting this since I was seven, or something like that. Since I could walk, I wanted to dance.
But I think they there was a trajectory where they weren't wanting to quit, even
Right.
with, you know, husbands or like Sybil, she had Gerald fawning after her And she kept telling him no in a very kind of like, cute way, like, no, I've said no to you, blah, blah, blah. Like she keeps pushing him away in a very witty way. But you kind of get the sense of like she doesn't want to settle down with even if he's a lord. I mean, she becomes a lady after Lady Wren after this.
Lady
But
Ren.
yeah, Lady Wren. But you get a sense that she's like, no, I don't want to do this. I don't
And
want to get married yet.
Angele Flowbone cheats on her husband,
Yes,
or soon to be husband.
at least in the first version. So, and perhaps in reality too. So yeah.
Whether it's a physical or emotional, part of me wants to believe that she at least had an emotional cheating with
With
Barry.
Barry, yeah,
Yeah.
we'll see. Well, no. Someone, I, this is one of those mu movie musicals I kind of wish was would be remade, would be,
Oh.
and in terms of like the idea of libel and the idea of like these behind the scenes of a performance group, I think it could be like a modern she said version of this would be interesting.
I would rather it be the three women talking
Gotcha.
testimonies,
Yeah.
and they follow what we've been saying, which is it's the same events, but
Yeah.
just told through a different
Told through a different
perspective.
perspective, different. Yeah. I think it'd be kind of cool.
I think that'll work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in this movie, though, are they doing burlesque?
That's what I kind of got. It was kind of a Follies Bergère kind of French feeling where it's kind of striptease. It's kind of a period piece in the 50, 57. Yeah, it's
So
like
it's,
who?
yeah, so they flash back to 1949,
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
and I think the trial, which is present day, is supposed to be in 57,
57. Yeah.
56, 57,
So,
somewhere around there.
late 40s French slight striptease kind of. You got the sense of these kind of women who have beautiful long legs who start out in ball gowns and eventually they're just wearing, bathing suits practically.
Oh yeah, and like
In Les Girls in the
the
title,
song
but
Les Girls,
yeah.
which by the way, did they kind
Put
of
blackface on some
blackface on
women and
women?
yes, oh yeah, the ensemble ladies definitely had blackface. They were barefoot and they had let's just say person of color hair stat wigs that were braided basically into big braided beehives.
And this isn't like vaudevillian blackface that we're talking about.
No, this is just
This is America's Next Top Model
yeah,
blackface that we're talking about.
exactly. It's just they just got spray painted and that's about it.
Because, I was watching them and I was like, did they? They did. At
Yeah.
least one.
No, they all the ladies
All four,
except for the
all of
lay
them.
girls, except for the lay girls. But there were some Asian, like legitimately Asian performers there. It was this kind of weird multi-ethnic ensemble, but they didn't actually cast the
Of course
women
not.
except for the Asians. I was like, okay, they actually cast some Asian ladies over there. They weren't,
I
but
also
yeah. Oy.
hated those costumes. I did not understand the black and white multi-patterned.
Yeah, I think this show did get another Golden Globe for costume design, but I loved the party dresses at the end.
The party dresses at the end were
Holy Moses. I wanted
gorgeous.
I personally love that the split skirt that's like this big kind of train and either a pencil skirt or pants underneath. I love that look from the 50s. It's like one of my favorite things ever because
So,
it's a dress, but it's also can be pants, so it's comfy. It looks comfy.
it so it so the Golden Globes, it won Best Motion Picture, and Tina Elg and Kay Kendall tied, as you said earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
It won an Oscar for costume design
There you go.
for Ori Kelly, which I
Ori.
saw that and I was like, is there any
No,
relation?
nah, I don't think so. Although Jean did have at least one scene in a pink shirt, so I was very happy. It's
We were
like,
very
yay,
happy about that.
we love Jean in a pink shirt.
I Also, wish we got to see the rope dance in full production.
As opposed to the rehearsal and then the
I mean, I did
failure.
like the rehearsal, don't get me wrong. And I
Yeah.
thought that set piece was so cool and fascinating. But like with the costume and with her in her costume,
Yeah, who knows
whatever it was supposed to
whatever it was
be.
supposed to be. Yeah, exactly. It was, yeah. I mean, it plays with reality a little bit with, in between rehearsals and performances, and obviously the rope was just to have Gene Kelly fall on his face twice, being tripped by the stage guy.
Oh my
Pull,
God.
pull,
Oh,
pull.
and then in Ladies in Waiting, I feel like
I.
you've had a sort of similar moment where, you know, you're working with actors. I hear stories of them during performances being like, look at that person in the fourth row,
In the fourth row, oh my
and they're all
God,
like
yeah.
staring at them, or like, you know, someone's asleep in the first row and they all just stare because they're like, we're not a screen. We can
Yeah,
see
we can
you.
see you guys. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think as a woman, I saw that and was like, oh yeah, this is definitely a burlesque. You know, let's do the misogyny dance right here. This is three ladies talking about how the king will ask
Fuck
them
them.
for, yeah. And then just let you know whatever creation they made to actually show the king, because he was the king in bed that they were going up to. Did you see him? He was like this paper mache monstrosity. I didn't
I
know what
don't
to they yeah
I think I saw a boner as well. Like
don't think so.
I don't know. That number, I was just like, wow, Cole Porter, you were
And that
so
dress with the
horny.
missing panel in the back.
And then the bow on their
The
butt on
bow
their
that,
butt cracks that they
yeah,
then put in their wigs, like
oh God. I mean, I don't know if Gypsy Rose Lee would actually use that same gimmick. You got to get a gimmick, and that's their gimmick. So the
which the,
wigs were
and I
great.
think that's like I know in Late Girls we there was the striptease, but I think that's the one where I was like, wait, so this actually is burlesque?
It's titillation. I don't know. It's
Folie Bergère?
Folie Bergère, something like that. Yeah, it's modeled after a certain, you know, style, at least.
So we know that you're a Trekkie.
Okay.
But how versed are you in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I'm literally on the last season right now, rewatching it. So what question do you have of me?
So did you pick up what they referenced for in this movie? There's a Buffy references
Huh?
this movie.
Really?
Yes.
I missed it, or maybe I thought of it and didn't think about it.
So in the song, You're Just Too Too.
Yes.
There's a moment where which one is that? Is that
You're just too. It's when Barry and
Sybil?
yeah, and Sybil are dancing. They're packing their luggage.
There's a moment where she says, look at me, I'm dancing.
Look at me,
And
I'm dancing. Yeah.
in the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, during I'll Never Tell, what's her name? Anya says that.
Oh, really? Look
Yeah.
at me, I'm dancing.
Which they are clearly referencing like Gene Kelly movies within that number.
Right.
But
Because
there's that
that's
mo.
also a line in Anchors Away where Jerry the Mouse says, "Look at me, I'm dancing." Because Gene Kelly just taught him how to dance.
Oh, see, I got it more from this because
Okay.
of her, like it,
They
she
could
was
both be
saying it.
quoting each other. They could
Well, yeah,
both
I
be.
mean, they're referencing old Hollywood in that song itself,
Right.
but I was just
Yeah.
like, Buffy!
Buffy.
I get the reference. I see it now.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh, the timing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for a Cole Porter movie, there's really only like six songs. Two of them are reprised in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, they
I
have the
will.
rope
Go
dance
ahead.
done twice, and then like girls are done twice, and the second time it's the montage when they're actually
Right.
touring.
Right. You also get Angèle doing some sort of belty audition piece that I'm like, whoa,
I
with the
don't know
bongos.
what
There's a lot
that
of beatnik
is.
kind of like French beatnik feelings of like avant-garde weirdness in this.
And when Sybil is cartoonishly drunk, she's kind of sings Carmen.
Carmen, yeah.
But and then there's a moment when Angèle in the first story leaves the theater, you hear Be a Clown playing in the background.
You hear Be a Clown, you also hear Nina from Pirate. Da 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 da
When?
da da. In one of the it's it, one of the one many background or backstage moments where chorus people are walking up and down with all those costumes. How many costumes did they pull
Oh
from
my
the
God.
vaults just
And
to
then
have these chaotic things? But you heard Nina in da 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 da
which
da
also made me
da da
wonder, are
da.
all those
Those are cold
extras
quarters.
part of Les Girls? Or are
I
they
don't
their
think
own
so.
acts?
They're their own acts. That all these things are pushed together in terms of, you know, Les Girls
So
is the
it's
touring act
show. Got
that is
it.
inserted into these reviews. I loved the posters, the like kind of Folies Bergère versions of Les Girls posters that some artists did, and they were on people's walls. I was like, I really want one of those, just to have on the wall and see if someone recognizes it as a Gene Kelly movie, you know,
I
musical.
also thought it was fascinating that after every testimonial, like the way that not only did we see like them go into their respective homes, but like leaving the courthouse, everyone acts differently, you know,
Yeah.
like
They're
one
either
is
in power or they're
posing.
not, you know, or they're defeated, you know, one or the other.
Right. And then it's just a fascinating movie that I agree with you that I think they should update it, but like I would want it to be the same series of events. So this way, you know, you get those moments of like, no, I don't even know what they would do, you know, like, oh no, this is when you were on a date with him, and this is when I was on a date with him, and blah blah blah. And then you have the third person come in and be like, so I witnessed everything. I
This is the
literally have no skin in
reality.
the game.
Yeah, this is the reality of it. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a fascinating, it's always a fascinating concept of things. Especially when like the dialogue is similar but slightly different, and so you kind of get the sense of that our perception of the truth is very ego driven sometimes, where we remember certain things or we forget certain things to justify our own behavior, and then we sometimes rewrite it. That's also
Yeah.
an idea of memory, is that by accessing our memories, we rewrite the data a little bit so it comes out differently every time we remember it. So that's also like could be an interesting concept
To play with,
to
yeah.
play with. This one, yeah, the dialogue didn't really have any parallels except for like once it's like the ladies in waiting, that's definitely a scene that they both perform, that all three of them performed. They just
And
have
then
different perceptions of it.
the actions at the end of every testimonial where they're going to the upper door and then they go around to the bottom door because apparently this apartment that they live in has two doors.
I wrote down, I have no idea what this flat, the layout of this flat. Like, I could not tell.
I have no idea
I sort
either.
of knew where the front door was, and then they had a walking up. They had like a one a couple
Like
of
an
steps up, and then you go down to like a bottom a place where maybe you could open up to a trellis or something. And that thing confused me. I was like,
And there was that
this is like
moment.
M.C. Escher, The Apartment.
There's that moment where there's like the upper level, and Sybil, when she's wasted and singing Carmen, I'm like, you're gonna fall.
You're gonna fall.
You're gonna
I
fall, and you're
if
in
I
like the kitchen.
if I lived in that apartment, I would literally put like a rope guide to the bathroom because I wouldn't know.
Guardrails.
Guardrails and something to hold on to on my way to the bathroom, because I in the dark I would not know where the hell I was.
Guardrails and
It's
a
so French.
lot of like
Lighting.
lights.
Yeah, a lot of lights. Yeah, that was one thing. I was like, what is this place? I also liked the scene in the in the train, where both Sybil and Barry are kind of hashing it out, and they're having a conversation over this French guy who doesn't speak
Spanish.
English. Oh, he's Spanish. Yeah, he doesn't speak English, but he has bottles of wine, and he's just passing it between the two of
Back and
them, and so
forth, and they're just drinking.
and they're just drinking, and it doesn't really matter what they are actually saying. It's the comedy of the bottle going back and forth. I think that event to me was very funny. That was like an honest moment of comedy that I really liked.
But what we do know is true is Gene Kelly and Sybil, Lord Wren,
Yes.
did get into a fight
Yes.
because when Lord Wren confronts Sybil about it, he does talk about the scar on my head. And then in
Right,
Gene
right.
Kelly's story, he mentioned something like, are we going for round two or something like, are we going to
Right.
fight
Yeah,
again?
there are little connective tissues between all of them that are kind of
Where we can
strands.
figure out the truth, but I honestly think like that they slap us in the face with the guy holding the poster board of what
Yeah,
is
of
truth.
course. Yeah, it's not subtle.
Not at
It's
all.
not subtle.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I was also wondering if this was gonna like kind of a sequel to An American in Paris, just because I thought it was funny. I know it's
Yeah.
not. But there apparently was an intended sequel called Les Boys,
To this one, yes, yeah.
but it then inspired the sitcom Harry's Girls.
I don't know that one. But
Harry Byrne sang, danced, and managed a vaudeville troupe consisting of three young women, Lois, Rusty, and Terry, overseeing their offstage
they sound like
exploits.
dogs.
Proved
Rusty,
exasperating for
Terry.
Burns, the and episodes implied that Burns and the women did not have enough talent to make it in America. None of the episodes had big name guest stars, and that's the synopsis from Wikipedia.
That sounds like that's the reason why no one remembers it. I
And
don't.
it lasted a season.
Yeah,
It
that
ran
sounds
for
like.
15 episodes.
Oh, okay.
But
All right.
I mean, it does say it is based on Les
Les Girls.
Girls.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
Yeah.
but yeah,
Anything
do
else?
you,
I mean,
I don't know. We kind of blew through everything, and like, really, the music seems so secondary in this, and it's a
yeah.
little upsetting because we have Gene Kelly. Like, come
Right.
on.
Well, I will say that this was one of, I think this was the only time that Gene Kelly and Mitzi Gaynor danced together. And there was a quote someone actually the a Facebook a Gene Kelly Facebook group like Gene Kelly the Legacy posted, and Mitzi was so excited to work with Gene Kelly. She had always wanted to dance with him and work with him. And there's a little bit of an anecdote where she realized that both of them were Virgos, and he made a snide comment about work ethic, and she kind of threw it back at him, and so the both of them laughed and had this kind of understanding of each other's energy, so they worked really well. And I will say that the Why Am I So Gone About That Gal, that's one of the best dances I think that Jean performs with another lady. It's kind of a Sid Charisse moment, and the two of them work really well. With their
And she
little
was
chair, the
originally,
sexy chair dance is really, really sexy.
and Sid Charisse was originally supposed to be in this movie,
That's right. Yeah, would've been interesting.
as Mitzi Gaynor's part. Leslie Caron was supposed to be,
Angel?
Angèle, who later became Tina Elg,
Mm-hmm.
and Kay Kendall was the only one who was supposed to be the British.
Yeah.
Also, this is Col Porter's last movie he worked on.
Yeah. Also, Gene Kelly's last MGM contracted movie.
Yes, because he still has more to come after this.
Right. He still has to
Still
do Xanadu.
has.
But
Ooh.
oh,
Oof.
good for him. And I had fallen down a little bit of a research rabbit hole looking up Kay Kendall, because she was like a British comedian and performer, and she died like 2 years after this, or 2 or 3 years, because she did this when she was in her 30s, and she died at age 33. She was married to Rex Harrison, and she was getting like felt like she was getting iron deficiency. She had all this energy problems. She went to the doctor. Eventually, it was some sort of leukemia that she was diagnosed. But in typical 1950s bullshit fashion, the doctor tells the husband about the wife's diagnosis, but Rex Harrison did not tell Kay Kendall.
God damn it, Rex
So
Harrison. You had
she,
one job.
so I just wanted to expose Rex Harrison for the fucker that he is about. I mean, I don't know if this is like if this is the truth that has been told to us on Wikipedia, and it's not really, and he's gonna, someone's gonna correct us. But when I read that, my inner flames started burning
Yeah, this is
on
the one
Kay
episode
Kendall.
that
I was
finally
like,
people are like, you're all wrong.
what? But hey, please tell me it's wrong and great, because but when I read that, I was pissed off, because
That's
that's not how
upsetting.
that's upsetting. But that was a thing in the air. I was like, oh, let's not tell the wife what the doctor says is the truth. Speaking about telling the truth, fuck that doctor. Tell the
I was
wife.
also just quickly looking up. Unfortunately, our bestie, Best Flowers, is not in this episode, in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So
Well,
she was too busy doing other stuff.
she would have been one of those people in the crazy behind, backstage costumes, like running around. That's how I would,
One of the
or
showgirls,
one of
yeah.
the showgirls, yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
The only thing that I noticed was that they talked about Barry Nichols's 3 Ps. Was it prompt, persistent, and perfect? I think those are the 3 Ps that he
Yes.
had, the three, and obviously he doesn't like complications. That's like the established, which obviously all three of them at some point mess up in their own version of things. But I was like, I wonder if that's a quote for about Gene Kelly himself. Did he have like prompt, persistent, and perfect
Well, this may also made me
perfectionism?
think like there were moments where I was like, are they commenting on what happened during Singin' in the Rain?
Maybe. I mean, that never happened with Debbie.
But like, this is the screenwriters throwing that in there because he keeps replacing the girls or threatening to replace them.
Right.
So.
Although Angèle has like her fifth position. I was like, holy crap, that's a good ballet position. She does some damn good ballet.
They got some really good dancers,
Although Kate seemed a little behind the other two, I think there was moments where she was keeping up.
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Sure.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp, and if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I'm gonna leave it in your hands. What do you want to start with?
I once again, I loved the El Sharpe, taking the script and just kind of elongating it in all the actors' decisions about how big or how small to have their performances depending on what version of the story was being told. I appreciated that. I loved the song "Ça c'est l'amour." I think that's a pretty melody. It's a little old-fashioned, but I think Cole Porter either, I'm not sure if he wrote the music. I mean, obviously Les Girls and maybe Ladies in Waiting, he might have written for the movie, but Ça c'est l'amour just felt like this beautiful romantic song. And I loved the "Why am I so gone about that gal?" The event of this motorcycle gang and the comedy of this group of guys.
Which was like a play off of crap, what's his name? James
I mean,
Dean?
Marlon Brando, probably.
Marlon Brando, that's it.
Yeah.
Ça c'est l'amour was written for the movie.
Okay.
Sorry, the way Wikipedia says that it was published in 1957 and introduced in the film Lay Girls.
There we go. I liked the performances themselves, like kind of excised out of the general thing.
My first sharp was for the transition from Lady Wren's when she's on the witness stand to the flashback, because they did this whole cool camera trick moment where it like panned away from her and you just saw like the wood paneling in the courtroom that then transformed into like a bookcase in their flat.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
was like, that
yeah.
is so cool and fascinating.
Nicely done, George Cukor.
Yeah, I also am sharping the rope dance.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to give a huge sharp to the dresses at the end.
those party dresses, one of each, please, give me.
And then, you know, I do want to sharp seeing the different perspectives of things. Again, though, I agree with you. I wish it played more with it. You know, mm-hmm. like, what are some actions that are kind of big that we can then show the difference of? Like, go a little more in Ladies in Waiting.
Right.
You know, see another number where somebody is fucking up or something, you
right.
know, just have a little more fun with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have any other sharps? Or is that it for you?
Those are it. You know, obviously I sharp Gene Kelly. I think he's a little lost in this, you know, this movie because of the she said kind of aspect. I think I'm not quite sure who Jerry is necessarily as a character, even
Barry.
After, sorry, Barry. Is after see I don't even remember his name
he's
I
just
don't
Gene Kelly
yeah he's just Gene Kelly, you know, I don't necessarily understand where he's coming from, even though in the script that he's like, oh, no complications and be punctual and blah blah blah.
Now let us have an affair.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Angèle's affair is a little more explicit than Sybil's. Because they
that's her character. That's the character that she comes in with, that we get to get used to.
Well, sorry. Let me rephrase. During Sybil's testimony, I think mm-hmm. we get more of like love, dating, sex
right.
with Angèle and Barry versus in Angèle's testimony where Sybil and Barry. I mean, they may have had a one night stand or something.
It's kind of cute.
Like.
I like the just two sequence because it kind of shows that they're flirty and it's not necessarily like just, you know,
right.
Raw
But you,
sex. It's just it's you know it's they're cute. They're being flirty with each other.
But you know, more is inferred in that on the date that Angèle and Barry had,
right?
Than the date that Sybil and Barry had,
right? Yeah.
All right, flats.
Besides blackfaced?
Blackface, yes.
Yeah, instant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Besides that, I flatted Barry for not listening to Joy. Because she's
end.
Like, I
yeah.
don't, I, during his testimony, he's like, he's like, let's have supper or something. She's like, no, I'm going to go home and do my post-show ritual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she tries to do the, like she tries to put herself, take off makeup and put her hair in rag curls and just wear, you know, soak her feet. And then he gets disgusted and leaves. And I'm like, but she's still gorgeous. Look at her. She's Mitzi Gaynor. She's still,
right. You're
I don't get it.
You want to be in a relationship with her. And this is going to happen one way or
you're
another.
You're going to see her without. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But she's still gorgeous. Anyway. Yeah.
And then my last slide is really that Joy didn't give a testimony. I would love to hear her perspective on things.
Yeah, I think it should have been a she said. Yeah.
Because this way the three roommates, I think it would have been also really fascinating if Gene Kelly was only in the flashbacks.
Mm. Yeah.
That would have been fascinating to me. Because he's Gene fucking Kelly, but he's only in. I mean, he would be in the majority of the movie, but he's only in.
It's
you know
it's
the
technically
incidents.
Not his story. The title of the movie is Les Girls.
Les Girls.
So even though it should be Les Women, but whatever.
What about you? What are your flats?
I
Besides
think
the
I,
blackface.
yeah, besides the blackface, I think I wanted to have a little more. Like I said, by the time Barry's section came around, my brain started floating off a little bit. It was, and like little things, like little events where it's like, oh, Sybil is drunk. That whole sequence was way too long. Like it needed some
Yeah.
editing, some sort of like, okay, we get it. She's drunk. It's not as funny the more she starts singing off key. It like there's just, and even like the party scene at the end, it needed to have a little bit more of a cohesive script wise, like some gelling of the script, so that it had a little bit more, what am I trying to say? A little more ergonomic storytelling from dialogue to dialogue kind of moments. It just felt, I'm saying that completely without any ergonomic description myself, because I'm not making myself too understood, but you understand.
I
I'm
get it.
trying I'm
Yeah.
trying to I yeah, it's like I you know my husband is a screenwriter, a script, and he sometimes doctors scripts, on as a
Tell
on the
him to fix
couch.
this one.
I would love, and he was like, what's
I'll
happening
send him a
between?
recording so he
Yeah,
can take our notes
I know.
and
Well, he's just like, what is happening? Why is this still going on? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
yeah, they're okay, so did Sybil actually tell Lord Wren about her affair with Barry? Because there's a moment before the fight happens where she's like, "Oh, I told him everything, blah blah blah." And I was like, "I know I was like not actively watching some parts of this, I will admit,
Yeah.
but I
You're
don't
talking about like
remember."
in the when in the flamenco after the flamenco scene in the bar kind of area
Yeah.
before the bar fight. I did write down like he lies about the lovers, like she lies about that, and it becomes kind of a comedy of error with the whole like, oh, I told him everything, and when in reality that's about the West End kind of thing. It's just this weird
Yeah.
kind of balance between.
Okay.
I did like Wolf Sharp, the beatnik in sunglasses sitting behind them with a newspaper or something. I was like, sometimes the extras are hilarious. And I was like, that one guy was standing out to me in that scene.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I didn't write any down,
I like Ça c'est
personally.
l'amour.
I mean, I thought they were great performances. I just don't know if I would listen to something outside of this, you know. But on that note, Sierra, we're done with the episode.
Oh,
We did
we
it.
did it.
What do you have to plug or promote?
Well, if nothing's changed in my life, I will be singing with Manhattan Holiday Carolers. We have a big weekend coming up. The first weekend in December is kind of crazy for me because that's when apparently every single holiday party is happening.
Oh,
And
fun.
yeah, I know. But usually we have a couple of days later on in December available. Probably not December 24th, but we are available for hire. So yeah.
Do you go into January?
No, we usually end on Christmas. On sometimes we do a couple things on Christmas. Usually like a volunteer kind of thing, but for like hospitals or something like that. But after that, no.
Okay.
We don't do. We just
And if
Christmas and
you,
over.
and if you, I mean, I feel like this has been done before or done since, this type of storytelling where it's the he said, she said, and we're seeing the differences. So if you could think of any other ones, what was the one that you said earlier?
Rashomon is the famous one.
Rashomon. If you can think of any other ones, you can let me know and I'll watch them. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok and Threads at buttersongpod. Yeah, I don't know what else to ask the good people who are listening. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we will be kicking off our holiday episodes, our winter holiday episodes, excuse me, and we're starting with Frozen.
And also a hearty rest in peace to Mitzi Gaynor.
Yes. Yes, Mitzi, you were fantastic in this movie. I will say that. You know what? I'm going to add a sharp here at the end of the episode to you, because you, everyone was great, but because we're talking about you, Mitzi Gaynor, you were sharp worthy.
Yes.
Sierra, thank you so much for popping
Thank you,
back on
John.
to talk about Le Girls. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.